and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Looking fantastic. Well, it's good to see Force AM is back on again, which is great for all the junior highs. And so good. Well, Alison and I and our family, we've been away for a couple of weeks. We went on family holidays up to the Gold Coast and got some nice weather up there. As you can see, I got a tan, which is great. And always got to love a good tan. Amen. Okay, about four people like tans in the Shire. Come on, who loves a good tan? Summer is coming. And so that was great. And then obviously being school holidays, we love school holidays, love spending that time with our children and having that opportunity to just be with them and love on them and get to hear their hearts and encourage them in God's purposes for their lives over school holidays is always a good thing. Amen. But we're back into it and excited for Term 4. Now we're going to have a phenomenal Term 4 in our church. Just really praying that God strengthens you, encourages you, blesses you, and gives you the desire of your heart in Term 4. So we're starting a new series today called The Miracles of Jesus. And hopefully over the next little while, I'm able to cover a handful of the miracles of Jesus. There are quite a few. And so so we won't be able to get to all of them, or else we'll have to probably have a couple of sermons per week. But at least we'll touch on some of the ones that I feel that God's placed on my heart for the next little while. So if you have your Bibles this morning, please open up with me to one of the great miracles of Jesus, and that is the healing of the 10 lepers, and that's found in Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. So we're going to draw from the well of revelation today. Who loves the Word of God? Luke chapter 17, verse 11. This is a passage that I think I preached from a couple of years ago, but just had some fresh stuff stirring in my heart around this passage, because how many of you know that the Word of God is endless? Yeah. Is His revelation and our understanding of His heart is just absolutely amazing as we continue to dig deep into God's Word. Luke chapter 17, verse 11, the story of the 10 lepers. I do need to tell you a quick story before we read it. And that is, we have this lovely pastor that used to be on our team. I won't say which city, but many moons ago. And let's just say that English wasn't his first language. So he gets up to do a communion one day. And instead of saying the 10 lepers, he kept saying the 10 leopards all the time. And these 10 leopards cried out to Jesus. So we won't be, maybe just turn the fallbacks down a little bit, please, guys, if you can. Luke chapter 17, just a touch would be great. Thank you. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 says, "Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were..." Thank you. No, someone said lepers. No, lepers. "Who stood afar off." Verse 13. "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed," come on, say amen, "returned and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? But where were the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" What an awesome miracle. Amen. Awesome healing. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Bible says that he passes through Samaria and Galilee, and he's on this incredible ministry tour, seeing lives change, hearts touch. The ministry of Jesus is filled with so many miracles. And in this story, we hear about 10 lepers tortured by the worst imaginable disease, leprosy. At the time in the ancient world, there's no cure for leprosy. And this disease would damage the skin, the nerves, eventually the limbs, and eventually someone would experience, these people, these lepers, were on a trajectory to a painful death and, of course, a painful existence. But more than that, the society that they lived in the middle of their need, would cut them off. They were isolated. Isolated from family, isolated from friends, isolated from the joy that you and I get to experience every single week in our lives, and that is the joy of community and relationship. 10 lepers, 10 dying. We don't know how long these 10 lepers had been in this situation. We don't know how long they were cut off from their society, cut off from the joy of relationship, cut off from even being with their children, potentially, with their family and friends. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 17, verse 12, it says that as he entered, that is Jesus, entered the village there, it says that 10 lepers stood at a distance. They weren't allowed to come close to Jesus. They were not allowed to be in his presence. They were isolated. They were cut off. And if you will allow me to say, these poor 10 men were quarantined from the rest of society. Leviticus tells us how these men would have been treated. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45. Watch this. It says, "Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare." Shame. Isolation. "And he shall cover his mustache." Don't know why. And cry. But they had to do it. But here, watch this. "Whenever he's around people," this leper was to cry, "Unclean. Unclean. And he shall be unclean all the days he has a sore," or has the sore, "and he shall be unclean." He is unclean. Watch this. "And he shall dwell alone." His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Unclean, unclean, isolated, alone, disgrace. This gives us a picture of what these 10 men had experienced. It gives us a picture and an understanding of what their lives would have been like. But in the middle of isolation, in the middle of being disgraced, ashamed, cut off from the joy of community and relationship, in the middle of their isolation, where society says there's restriction, there's limitation, this person's too hard to love, where there's no hope, where a person has been declared off limits, we see the grace of God and the kindness of God in operation. When others walked on the other side of the road, Jesus made a point to make contact with these cut off, isolated people to give them a hope and a future. And we see the grace of God reaching out to the lonely to touch people, to let them know they're loved, that Jesus has a plan, he has a purpose, and he has a future for their lives. Where society can't help you, where friends and family and finances cut you off, the grace of God has a way of reaching your heart, lifting you, strengthening you, encouraging you, and making a way. That is the miracle power of Jesus, that when we stand at a distance from him, his grace does not stand afar from us. The name Horizon Church exists because part of the idea of having the name Horizon is when you stand at a horizon and you look out, you see the breadth, you see the expanse of a horizon. And when you think that you have arrived at the horizon, there's always another horizon. Such is the love and the grace and the kindness of our God. His love is immeasurable. His grace is immeasurable. His kindness is immeasurable. And for eternity, we will be on a journey of discovering the grace and the kindness and the love of God. I love the old hymn, "Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure." The saints and angels song. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Many years ago, when we were living in Adelaide, every year in our church, we used to have this citywide fireworks thing, and thousands of people would come. You may have heard me share this in the past. And I never forget on this night, as we had celebrated Christmas and sang Christmas carols, then outside a big church property, we'd have this huge fireworks display, and it was all cordoned off and so on. And I saw this kid just to the corner of my eye as the fireworks kind of were going off, and everyone's like, "Ooh, ah, that's awesome." And I see this kid at the corner of my eye jump over the fence and run towards where the fireworks were going off. And I knew that unless I put my Usain Bolt sprinting shoes on, this kid had special needs. He was going to get to this, and that would have not been good for anyone, especially for the child. And so I found myself not even thinking, not even in a place considering, wonder if I'll get to him or not. There was no thought of my own safety. There was no thought of I wonder what the security will think if they see me jumping over the fence. There was no thought of that. There was one thought, and that is, I need to rescue this kid. I need to get to him before he gets to that firework display. So I jump over the fence, and I'm kind of like, 100 meters sprint. And I, probably about 20 meters from where the fireworks were going off, I grabbed him and I bear hugged him. And he had, special needs, so he's kicking and screaming, and I'm like, "You can kick and scream all you want. You will not be getting those fireworks." And I grabbed him and I took him back to his parents. That right there is a picture of God's amazing grace. As all of our lives were headed for destruction, all of our lives we were headed for a Christless eternity, the grace of God and the kindness of God reached out to us, loved us, rescued us. He forgave us, and he gave us a brand new start. That is the grace of God. The Bible makes it very clear of how many lepers there were. The Bible says that there were 10 lepers. It could have easily said that there were a group of lepers. We could have got away with that. The story would still work. But the Holy Spirit, in his incredible wisdom, was very clear in telling us how many lepers there actually were. The Bible tells us that there were 10 lepers. Well, in Bible numerics, who loves Bible numerics? Good. Hopefully not too much, but it's good to lean into it. Number one, of course, is the number of God. In the beginning, God. Number five, isn't it? These are just examples, is the number of grace. David picked up 5 smooth stones and defeated a giant. I could give you many other examples. Number 7, as an example, is the number of completeness, of wholeness. On the 7th day, he rested. Something is complete. It's finished, right? Amen? But the Bible tells us about 10 lepers. What is the number 10 represent in the Bible? The number 10 represents something that's established, something that's been complete, something that's set in concrete. As an example, Abraham had 10 trials. There are 10 common words that are used in the longest chapter in the Bible, and that is Psalm 119. There are 10 commandments, something that is set in place. The Bible says here that there were 10 lepers. The story of the 10 lepers is, in fact, a story of you and I. Something that is set and established. We were the ones that were at a distance. We were the ones that were afar from Christ. We were the ones that could not enter his presence because on my side, I was estranged from God because of my sin. On his side, he was estranged from me on account of his holiness. What made the way? the mercy, the kindness, and the grace of God, the story of the 10 lepers, is actually you and I. Number one, the story of the 10 lepers is to show us the position of all. Our position, your position, at a distance from Jesus, but love made a way. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Number two, it's also there to show us the prayer of all. I want you to notice that none of the lepers prayed individual prayers. One leper didn't say, "Oh, you know, Jesus, my left foot's been really giving me trouble." That's where the leprosy started. The other leper didn't say, "Oh, I started on my knee," or the other one's like, "It's on my back." They all prayed the same prayer. Watch our prayer. Luke chapter 17, verse 30, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." That's all of our prayer. Jesus, we fall at your mercy. Without your mercy, without your kindness, there's nothing that I can do. There's nothing that I have done. There's no good works that I can perform. At a distance, I fall on the mercy of God. All 10 speak the same prayer. Have mercy on us. I'm in a painful existence, but I fall on the mercy of God. And Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4 tells us, God is so rich in mercy. And when we call out to Him, we're calling out to a God who's full of mercy, full of grace, full of compassion, full of love. Remember as a teenager going to youth camps, and there was this one person who was song leading one day, and the song leader gets up to song lead, and you know, sometimes back in the day, prior to the kind of the first worship song, song leaders like to give a speech, you know, and that was a way of kind of, you know, getting everyone going and ready to worship. Oftentimes it's nervousness, but that's what was happening. And this song leading and goes on to speak about, to motivate everyone to worship. I'm like 15 at the time. You know, one day, we're going to go to heaven, and all of your sins is going to be on this big screen. And everything you've ever done wrong will be on the big screen. So we really need to worship tonight. And I'm thinking, man, just before I left camp, I told my sister off. What else did I do this week? And I'm like, oh, man, did it make me feel like worshiping? No, I felt guilty. I felt bad for telling my sister off. I felt bad for throwing my socks on the floor instead of putting in the washing basket for my mom to pick up. I just felt bad. And then instead of experiencing the love and the kindness and the grace of God, I felt guilt at the time. Mercy is there to let us know that our sins and our lawless deeds, the Bible makes it very clear in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 17, their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. We will never be able to truly understand the mercy of God. It was not their good works for these 10 lepers. It was not because they had something going on in their week that attracted Jesus to them. It was simply that they fell into His grace and into His mercy. Mercy is an incredible thing. There are people here who have a heart for mercy. Some are moved by mercy. Any merciful people here this morning? Okay, we need more merciful people at Horizon Church. I feel compelled. It's an unusual compassion. It's a motivational gift that the Bible speaks about. God is moved with mercy when He looks at you today. He's moved with compassion. He's moved with an overwhelming, unusual sense of, I just love you. And I just want to bless you. That's the heart of God today. Many years ago, I wouldn't say that I'm a high-end, mercy, gifted person. I try my best. But some people are just mercy, mercy, mercy. Amen? But I remember the Holy Spirit moving, Alison and I, moving our heart in mercy. We were youth pastors. There was a young couple. This guy had a really tough upbringing. Went into Teen Challenge. He was a heroin addict. Went to Teen Challenge for 12 months. They were married. He comes back. His life is on track. And they just want to serve God. And they just completely give themselves to the purposes of God. But they wanted to be at church. They wanted to be at youth. They wanted to go to a life group. They wanted to be at the different prayer meetings. But they had no car. And I knew that left long enough, without that opportunity to be in fellowship, without that opportunity to be in relationship, without that opportunity to be in connection with God's people, it would be very easy for him to slip back into old habits. And we had two cars. They had none. I was a youth pastor. I was on $3.62 an hour back then. In fact, I probably could have earned more money working at McDonald's. But when the mercy of God comes upon you, when you look beyond your own need and your own desires and your own wants, we were moved with compassion because we had two, they had none. And we wanted them to be in fellowship. And we gifted to them a car. It was kind of a nice car too. And we gifted it to them. But our hearts were moved with mercy. God's mercy reaches out to us today. When he looks upon us today, it's his mercy, it's his grace, it's his kindness. He's not come to judge you today. He's come to bless you. And he's come to encourage you. And he's come to strengthen you. And he's come to love on you. And he's come to build your life today. That is the mercy of God. Can you say amen? So we see the position of all. They all prayed the same prayer. Lord, have mercy. Can you say amen? Amen? But we see something very strange in this story, prophetic to some extent, prophetic in nature. And that is position of all, prayer of all, but the praise of one. Only one came back to give thanks to God. It says in Luke chapter 17, verse 15, now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. Now watch the story. When Jesus called these lepers to a place of healing and experiencing his miracle power, he does something. And he says to them, go show yourselves to the priests. Now, he could have said many things. He could have said, you're healed, you're set free, go your way, your faith has made you well. All of those could have worked. But he says, go show yourself to the priest. Now, the reason why is because in their culture, if someone had leprosy, the person who declared whether they had leprosy no more had to be the priest. It was written in the book of Leviticus. The priest was the one who said, you no longer have leprosy, therefore you're allowed back into the community. So what Jesus does is Jesus sends them straight to the place where they will be back in community, in fellowship, and in relationship. He bypasses all process and he says, go straight to the person who's going to connect you back into relationship with your family and your friends. So you can imagine these 10 lepers, they start walking, and the Bible says as they went, there was a healing that took place. They went and saw the local priest at the local temple. And the priest said, you're done. You're healed. You can go back and be with the community. So watch what Jesus does. Jesus takes them not just to a place of healing, but he brings them to a place of relationship and fellowship and connection. Jesus just doesn't want us to experience his power, although that's great. He understands for us to be what God has called us to be, we need to be in a place of relationship. We need to be in a place of community. We need to be in a place of fellowship. That's why life groups are so important. because it helps you to be connected with other believers who can walk with you, encourage you, stand alongside of you. So Jesus gives them the full package. It's not a half-hearted scenario. They are healed and they are built into community and into relationship. It's an incredible miracle. Now, you can imagine that once they have been told by the priest, dish is done, you're good, they go straight, straight to their family and friends, some potentially to their parents, back to their home. We don't completely know all of their stories, but logic would suggest because of the way that they've been isolated from society and from community, the first place that they go to is the place of relationship. They're in blessing. They're enjoying. For some of them, it's the first time in who knows how long they had the opportunity to kiss their children, hug their wives. We don't know. But all we know is that they are now enjoying the benefit of community and relationship. Now one comes back. One comes back to give thanks. Luke chapter 17, verse 17 says, "So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? The book of Romans speaks about this. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 says, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. Now watch this. They're in relationship. They're having a great time in the community. And do we love community? Absolutely. But they were so occupied in what the blessing brought that they forgot to go back to the one who released the blessing. All loved their wives and their children. All had a passion for community. But one came back to give thanks. One came back to say, I love my family and friends, but I want to be the one who's healed me and set me free. One had his priorities in order. On that day, the nine forgot that they got so caught up in the blessing, they forgot about the blesser. They got so caught up in the miracle and all that the miracle afforded them that they forgot about the miracle giver. We can fall in love. Stay with me. We can fall in love with favor. And we can forget about the source of the favor. We can get so caught up in all that Christianity offers and gives to us. Family, community, blessing, increase, hand of God, blessing of God. That we forget about the one who released it all to you. Why do we tithe? We tithe because tithing reminds us of where the blessing has come from. Tithing is a weekly, monthly, fortnightly, however you do it, expression to say, God, I'm never going to forget that you're the one who's blessed me. Worship and communion, they're all there to remind us. I'm not going to get so caught up in the favor and the blessing that I forget about the fountain of life. I'm not going to forget of where it came from. And this one, he put his family and friends on hold so that he could worship the one that made his being with his family and friends possible. Psalm 107 verse 8. It says, let them praise the Lord. Come on, amen. Come on, we're a praise and worship church. That's why we worship at Horizon Church. Because we're coming back to the source. He's the one who's blessed us. James says, every good and perfect gift comes from above. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. Can I remind you this morning of all the wonderful things that God has done for you. 10 lepers, it's our story. The position of all, the prayer of all, but the praise of one. Can we be part of that 10% that gives thanks to God? You know, in our 21st century life, media, or advertising I should say, works by making you feel unsatisfied with what you currently have. For example, you watch a car ad. They never sell to you the car, they sell to you the feeling, the experience. The new car's not in a garage. The guy or the girl driving through the city just looking cool. And everyone's like, hey. Why? Because they're selling you feel good. In other words, feel dissatisfied with what you have so that you can feel good by having that. I'm not against that. It's just how it works. But let's be the kind of people that never get so caught up in what we don't have that we forget about what we do. Come on, our greatest gift is He's forgiven us. He's loved us. He's cleansed us. I was the one who stood at a distance once, and I cried out as a 14-year-old, "Have mercy upon me, Jesus." And what did you do? He said, "Go to the priest." In other words, He connected me up with fellowship straight away. I was connected in the family and the purposes of God, but my responsibility is never to stop giving thanks. The moment you stop giving thanks, you become ungrateful. The moment you become ungrateful, you become dissatisfied. You start to become dissatisfied, you become discouraged, you become bitter and critical. Stay in the place of gratitude. Stay in the place of gratitude. Stay in the place of thanksgiving. Now watch it. Stay with me. Come on, you're getting something out of this morning. Look at what happens. Now one of them, Luke chapter 17 verse 15 says, now when he saw that he had been healed. Come on, say amen. He turned back. Come on, that's what we're doing at Horizon Church today. We're turning back. And what did he do? He glorified God with a loud voice. Loud voice. Loud. Any loud people in the house this morning? Come on. He glorified God with a loud voice. Now watch this. If you go back to the prayer, the original prayer, Luke chapter 17, verse 13, when they cried out for their need, look at what it says. And called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity," or "have mercy on us." Notice that with shouting, they came with their need, but the one came with shouting in his praise to God. With the same loudness and intensity they cried for mercy, one came back. Because it's very easy for us when we have a need. Oh God, oh, oh God, get in the car. Oh God, help me. God help, oh Lord help. But it comes to worship. Oh, I don't like that song. But they're singing, "'Tis So Sweet" every week. Gee, this is going for it. How long does this guy preach for? But we have a need. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, Lord, help. Come on, we're turning back today with a loud voice to give praise to God and give thanks to God and give glory to God. That's who we are at Horizon Church. We're worshippers. We're people who know how to give thanks to God. We're grateful for the cross. We're grateful for the finished work of the cross. And we come with a loud voice to say, thank you, Jesus. If I could have the musos and singers as well, please. Now watch what happens. Watch how he comes to Jesus. Come on, you're getting something out of this today. We're turning back to give thanks. Stop thinking about what you don't have. Start thinking about what you do have. Come on, he's blessed you. He's set you free. You can worship with freedom today. Look at how he comes to Jesus. Luke chapter 17, verse 16. He fell to the ground. Come on, how do you know? This brother, he's got gratitude today. He's not like, Jesus, well done, good miracle. Look at his heart. 10% of the church, how sad. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet. Come on, I know someone else who came to the feet of Jesus. Her name was Mary. She gave her best. She poured oil, perfume over his feet. And the Bible says that the fragrance filled the house. Let worship fill the house today. Let thanksgiving fill the house. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. Watch what he did. He built an altar at the feet of Jesus. Can we build an altar at the feet of Jesus today? Come on, church. Can we build an altar at the feet of... I know sometimes things can be rough. We lose certain things in life. Things don't always go away. But I want you to just push that out today and come with a heart of gratitude, a heart of thanksgiving. I will enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Come on, any praising people in the house this morning? Any worshiping people? Watch what thanksgiving did. He's at the feet of Jesus. Come on, just imagine this. He's at the feet of Jesus. Where did thanksgiving place him? Thanksgiving always puts you in the place of intimacy. It always puts you in that place where you're close to the heart of God. And Jesus says to him, go your way. You have been made well. Not only did he experience physical healing, but this man experienced the heart of God because he fell at the feet of Jesus. This is what we're going to do in a moment. We're going to worship him and we're going to give thanks to Jesus today for the good things that he has done. Can you say amen? Come on, are there any grateful people in the house at Horizon Church this morning? But there are people that are here today and you are at a distance, just like I was once when I was a teenager. Different people recognize, come on, stay with me. They recognize they're at a distance at different phases in their life. Some people, you recognize you're at a distance when you're a child, others as teenagers, others as young adults, mums and dads, sometimes even grandparents. It's never too late. As a grandparent, as an elderly person, they recognize, I've lived my whole life at a distance. But I want to encourage you, pray the same prayer that I prayed once. Jesus, have mercy upon me. Have mercy. And his love is so wide. His love is so great. His love is so endless. Come on, I know I'm speaking to someone today. You might be older today, but God can restore you. God can make you new. He can give you a new heart. He can give you a new beginning today. It doesn't matter what your age is. God is good. And he cares for you today. Amen. And if that's you today, you're saying, I want to pray that prayer. I want to pray the same prayer that says, Jesus, I'm at a distance, but would you receive me? Would you heal me? Would you set me free? Would you give me a new start today? This is what we're going to do. We're going to pray a prayer. It's a simple prayer that invites Jesus Christ to come into our lives. You may be someone today that once prayed this prayer, but for whatever reason, you ran away from fellowship. Come on, it's time to come home today. God loves you. He cares about you. This is the family of God. No one's here to judge you today. We're here to lift you up and encourage you and strengthen you today. So we're going to pray a prayer. It's a simple prayer that invites Jesus Christ to come into our lives, to be our Lord, be our friend, be our Savior, to give us a brand new start. I'm going to ask everyone in the auditorium to bow their heads and to close their eyes. And from your heart, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer after me. And everyone in the auditorium, he's going to help you as well. Are you ready? Here we go. Repeat this after me. Jesus Christ, I believe in you. I confess that I have sinned. Come into my heart and be my Savior. I receive your forgiveness and complete acceptance. I know that I have been set free from my past. I believe that I am now a child of God. with all of our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you've never prayed that.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.